I'm listening to the show every morning, and you can say it's grand. It's not grand if you're not on it, though.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Some talent in Cork, isn't there? Wow. A few of the GAA boys weren't happy, but it was my sporting hero. I was contesting, I think, against Jimmy Barry Murphy. So once you're in that company, everything is good.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
It's very, very special. Believe me, I think it becomes more special when you're on the coach, because it's something, unfortunately, inside me that's ultra competitive, and I need to be there.
Catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM on the OTB Podcast Network. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Okay, so delighted to say that Chuck Mendenhall of The Athletic and The Man and The Myth podcast is with us now to discuss UFC 249. Chuck, you're very welcome back to the show. Great to have you. How are you getting on?
Great, man. It's been too long, fellas. Come on.
It sure has. I guess I just want to ask how Saturday night was for you, because I certainly think that a lot of people who were watching UFC 249 on the night are, I want to say, pleasantly surprised with the product that they got and how satisfying the whole thing was. I'm not sure what we were expecting, but turns out having an empty arena actually doesn't translate that poorly to us sitting at home watching it on television.
Yeah, that was kind of the revelation for me as well. You know, I mean, honestly, man, like, it enhanced actually the sound and the effect of the violence that you're watching. And I hate to say it just like that, but it felt to me like you're watching something in close proximity, because you could hear every exchange, and you could actually hear the corners. You could hear things going on in the atmosphere in the arena. And also, like, the thing that was kind of slept on was, you know, these guys, they weren't steered in any direction trying to play up to a crowd. They weren't hearing boos or cheers or feeding off of that in any way, which translated into kind of this more sincere moment when they got to the microphone and they would talk about whatever just happened. I felt like it was way more authentic expression of what they would normally say under circumstances like this. So I felt like there was all kinds of novel things going on there. And about me too, man. I was pleasantly surprised with the whole presentation, actually.
It turns out that it was a fully better audio experience, I thought. Like, the connection of each hit was definitely more telling. It was more educating. You knew a little bit more of what was happening, the severity of each hit. Like, you almost didn't need the commentators to tell you. Like, of course, it always helps when they're adding a bit of energy into your ears and all that. It's fantastic. But I find previously you almost need Joe Rogan to be shouting for you to realize just how severe a hit was. On Saturday night, you could hear the connections yourself and make your own mind up.
Yeah, it's almost like the subtle difference between, having a almost internal experience with it. Like, you watch it, and I said on to a different buddy of mine, I was like, it was like if a fight broke out at a locker in school next to you, and you could hear every punch, and you feel it. You feel the wind and all this. I was like, that's what it kind of felt like to me, man. It brings it home, because I think you build up your immunity a little bit to what's happening, what you're watching sometimes. So you see some blood, or you see somebody's arm getting torn off. You're like, this is just part of the game. But when you kind of have all of your senses focused on one place, including your hearing and all of that, there's a lot more that rings home. When you're watching that, it becomes more of a profound experience again. Part of that too, though, is 2 months away, you know, without basically seeing a fight card. I think that might have played into it too, just having an event to watch like that.
I will say sorry, Joe. Just one last point before you come in.
Yeah,
there is a definitely comic value to Bruce Buffer in an empty arena.
Yeah, anything where they would typically play up to a crowd, right? Like, you're like, well, now we're doing charades. But I guess you're still looking at an audience at home, so it's okay. But yeah, so the Bruce Buffer stuff was good. There was a lot of just unique things. Just the fact that certain fighters were hearing Daniel Cormier's commentary and actually taking that as advice and using and executing, like Carla Esparza and Greg Hardy, I think both said they did that. Things like that, man. I mean, I just never anticipated we'd see so many kind of strange features from a telecast like that.
Yeah, special shout outs to whatever producer or director was like trying those wide shots where you normally get the crowd going crazy during the introduction. That's just this empty arena. You wrote a great piece last week speaking about how the fact this is kind of like a sci-fi dystopian future come to life, that we're all kind of huddled up at home watching fighters smuggled from all over the country fighting in this empty arena. The presence of the United States starting the telecasts wasn't part of your predictions.
No, but that only adds to the rogue vibe of what was going on, doesn't it? It's like, he's not exactly the most popular figure over here. so it's like, it seemed like it was almost, it only just kind of added to the bootleg feel of what was going on. It was just, it's a bizarre setup, but once you kind of accept it, honestly, and kind of let your mind work over it the way that they are intending and try to give it, you know, keep an open mind on it, I thought it played out as well as it possibly could. Obviously, Jacare and his corner men getting it. I thought at the time, I was like, this could be disastrous, but I thought the UFC kind of showed that you can, you know, even have an incident like that and still carry on with the event and everything else. So, I mean, the whole thing carried a bootleg feel, but I got to say, man, I'm a bit of a guy who appreciates things like that on some level too, because that's why you get drawn to the fight game. There's a lot of weirdness that goes on, and this was just another weird chapter, man, and that we just started into, and I thought it came off pretty well, honestly.
How important when you? Sorry, go on, Joe.
Sorry, just when you mentioned there, just the positive test. When you first heard about the three positive tests, what were your initial thoughts like? I know because since the card had previously been pulled under some pressure from kind of Disney/ESPN. Yeah. When I first thought, I was thinking kind of, is there going to be take two here? Is there going to be, are there going to be cold feet? Then obviously once it's come off, it's kind of been a bit normalized, but I just wondering what your initial thoughts were when you heard that news.
So my initial thoughts, man, and again, we're dealing with this in real time and UFC's dealing with it like, and by trial and error, right? But like you're dealing with it in real time. You hear something like this, you think it's the ultimate backfire. You think like, oh man, and you go down the, you kind of go down the channels of what you've been hearing, which is just how much exposure was there between Jacare and everybody else, between his cornermen and everyone else. So my initial thing was, this is the ultimate backfire. This is the worst kind of news. And you're kind of bracing for it to even get worse. But if anything, and I don't know how it'll play out, because obviously like we're still in the midst of kind of figuring out everything about that. If anything, it kind of maybe showed people from the rest of the world, like the rest of the sports world anyway, like, hey, you can even have a positive result and still keep rolling if you just handle it correctly. UFC, obviously, I don't think they handled everything perfectly correct, but they showed that it can be done. And I think they'll learn from that situation too. At least we'd hope they'd learn from a situation like that. But honestly, my initial thought was, this is a backfire, brace for maybe the worst, which it might even end up in the cancellation of the card. That was my initial thought.
It didn't come close to that, did it? Like, obviously, you had a situation where Dana White was fist bumping him, and like, I guess we're only a couple of days after the event as well. Like, there is still the possibility of there to be a result of this result down the line. Unfortunately, yeah. Hopefully, nothing does happen, but it certainly raised a few eyebrows, not just because of the positive test, but also because of the footage of the fist bump.
Yeah, all of that. And even during the fights, man, Joe Rogan shaking hands with everybody. Yeah. I mean, it was just, the whole thing was just it's kind of surreal in that way. I don't know, man. I feel like the UFC is learning on the fly on how to deal with this. And, there's a part of you, an adventurous spirit type of thing, says, hey, good for them for trying to go out there and actually, you know, they're going to be criticized for trying this and for some of the failures, like for instance with, I guess if you look at the Jacare and all of that as a failure, you know, they're going to go through that and be scrutinized for it. And we see how they respond. Obviously they're running three events this week and it's got all kinds of potential for disaster, man, through this whole thing in one arena and everything. And we'll see how it all goes. Maybe this would be the thing you look at again in a couple of weeks and you try to figure out at that point, like, how did it really come off? But as of right now, I feel like they've been handling themselves, you know, decently for the first sports party to go forward like this.
Well, like, I think there's kind of two ways of looking at it, Chuck. I think on the one hand, you can say, and like, I think to be honest with you, even Donald Trump mentioned this in his video about the idea of getting our sports back. And, you know, there is a big sort of chest-thumping, patriotic tone to it. But in the actual, what he is saying, we want our sports back. Nobody disagrees with that. We all want to get our sports back around the world. There are positive mental health benefits to that. It's what we love. It's what the athletes love. Nobody will disagree with that. But then at the same time, there has been a bit of the chest thumping element to it. And I wonder if even the idea of Joe Rogan hopping into the octagon to do those interviews, when I'd read on ESPN on Friday that those were going to be done socially distanced and stuff like that, it just felt like the UFC were constantly pushing the boat out to say, look at us, and screw your COVID-19, screw your social distancing policies. We're going to be able to do this the way we want to do it. That I agree in the main part that the meat on the bone feels right, but there is just a few things hanging around the edge here which don't sit fully well with me.
No, I'm with you 100% on that. And you could go through the psychology of the reasons for this a lot of time, but I mean, this is the decree, right? Like, you keep socially distanced. This is the, I think that this is a collective thing globally. Like, you have to kind of adhere to it. For anybody to kind of mock it, or, you know, like, make people feel like maybe, you know what I mean? Like that they understand it a little better, or they're not scared by it, things like that. I'm like, it just seems unnecessary, man. It seems unnecessary. I saw Joe Rogan doing that, and not just Joe. I mean, there are other. You're seeing like other examples of it, kind of sprinkled around the event itself. But I'm like, I prefer that they kind of corrected that. That leaves themselves open to criticisms that they really don't need. The bigger issue is obviously like to keep the fighters safe, right? And I just don't think you need to fly in the face of all that fear and possibility when you don't have to. And I'd be a little surprised if they keep doing it. I mean, if it looks exactly the same, I'd be a little surprised. I just think that that kind of thing is bad optics for anybody who's actually adhering to kind of the restrictions right now in our world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And in terms of the general kind of court of public opinion, the show seems to have been a success. We've seen reports say of 700,000 buys, which, given the new mechanism through ESPN Plus, that's a big number. And also given the state of the economy, with the hit that it's taken from the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a big number, man. And you know what the truth is? I wasn't sure. I was like, just given the economy the way it is, I wondered if we would see those kinds of numbers. Not just that, like, you know, like there's so many places that show the fights publicly that are shut down right now. My hunch was actually it'd be lower numbers than we were anticipating. So that's a good thing. And I got to say, man, like, I don't know about you guys, but I always kind of gauge, you know, like the interest in something like this by the amount of people you hear from who don't normally watch it. And I felt like I was hearing from a lot of people. I do know a lot of gambling degenerates and things like that too. So they were wanting advice and all this, but I was hearing from people that you're like, man, these guys don't usually watch the fights, and they were watching them. So I guess in that way, it speaks to you on a very basic level. But in the end, I wasn't surprised, just given the interaction on Saturday night, social media, and then my own private talking to people who don't watch it. I thought maybe at that point it was going to do better than we anticipated, or than I anticipated. And yeah, man, that number is pretty impressive, actually.
Mm. Like, being the first sport back, it was always going to be a key thing. And I guess the truly global reach that the UFC has as well definitely helps it. It's always been, I felt, a sport that had tapped into the online market ahead of everybody else. So, and I guess that goes back to the history of perhaps it not being a mainstream sport and having to find other avenues. Maybe that is the culture of the UFC at its best now, finding ways to actually make the sport happen.
Yeah, 100%, man. And I agree with you. I feel like just the online presence, but also the social media presence. Like, I felt like, I don't know how you guys felt, but on social media, it felt like a party. You know, it's like everybody was showing up, everybody was chiming in, you know, actors, celebrities, other sports stars, everybody seemed to be watching it and kind of adding to this this collective experience. And the UFC at its very, very best is able to accomplish that. I think that when they can get all of, you know, everybody kind of watching, and I say it like this because I know this is what they want, but like, you know, they achieve a kind of like positive energy over the whole thing where they you know, everybody's just anticipating the next fight, while other people are still cooing about the last fight. I feel like when you get that kind of atmosphere, it makes the event seem so much bigger in scope than just your normal one. And I thought that this one had the feel of that. And I do think it's because, you know, so many people are on social media and so many people are doing that. But for one night, it was almost like the old UFC pay-per-views where it was an event because they're spread out so far. And everybody paid attention to the event based on that. 2 months is all it took. It was like coming back from an off season, and it had that feel to me a little bit.
Maybe just in terms of people who wouldn't be following it as closely, in terms of both the kind of the depth of the card, the magnitude of those fights, the stakes. And then also, it wasn't just the stakes. They're all fan-friendly fights that came true. No one was grinding it out. No one was really running away. Every fight just, like from the first fight on, was just fireworks.
Yeah, and it was like, even on the prelims, man, honestly, I was trying to think, was there even a dud on the card? I mean, it seemed like every fight had something to it. And it had something in prospect, too. When you were thinking about the matchups, a lot of them were very intriguing. You know, the Dominic Cruz-Henry Cejudo fight, to me, it's like it was completely underplayed because, in general, you have a guy coming back from 3.5 years away who's kind of still the face of the bantamweight division, considered the GOAT, against the guy who's the new guy, you know, and coming in. And to me, that was fascinating. But you almost couldn't wrap your mind around it because there was so much depth to the card. There's so much other stuff to look at and all that. So I was vastly intrigued and in prospect, like coming in, and I thought all of those fights, for the most part, either paid off or exceeded expectations. So again, man, it's like I'm not sure the UFC could have asked for a better return. And you know, if the card was a dud, maybe we're criticizing it for some of the other stuff as well, like right now as well. But the truth was, it felt worth it, didn't it? It felt worth it for the risk because all those fights paid off.
What happens next, Chuck, in terms of this week and in terms of beyond this week? Because like there has been some wild ideas out there for how the UFC maintains this level of activity in the COVID world.
I think that's the big question. Obviously, Wednesday night, there's another fight card, which is more, you know, par for the course of what you would see on a typical fight night. It's not the greatest card, but it's not bad. There's some good names all over it. The matchups are just, you know, they're pretty good. I think that once we get rolling again, we'll see, but this is a strange time, right? Like, I feel like if you relax on what's going on, disaster could boom, you know, to any of these events. So I feel like even though the cards may, you know, some of these cards may sag in terms of their intrigue, the UFC has to kind of ratchet it up and meet it on a level that's taking it even more and more serious as they go, because they have to figure out how to do this as cleanly as possible, right? Like, so I feel like we're going to see a lot of that, like some trial and error over the next couple weeks anyway. And hopefully, man, like as a fan of the sport and as a guy who covers it and who knows so many people within this industry, you hope that it all comes off and, you know, they don't have any big problems that become a bigger black eye on the sport than it needs to be. I just think that, it was a nice first step. There were some missteps there, but I feel like it was a nice first step back into action. And honestly, man, this is the one time where I'm like, I really don't know, but you're vastly intriguing. You're rooting for the UFC to do it safely and successfully, I guess, at this point.
And just kind of speaking of the road forward and maybe the potential for disaster or embarrassment, is Fight Island going to happen or – is it more realistic that they get back to the Apex in Vegas or something like that before the Fight Island's needed?
Well, it feels to me, and this is the weird effect of this, like the way that this works, because I don't know what you guys are hearing over there, but it's almost like I see Major League Baseball suddenly is hatching a plan for an 82-game season. I feel like the UFC was a catalyst for people to kind of start realistically looking at getting back. So they may have helped their own cause in terms of that. I think that the Apex probably, you know, the NFL over here too is also like functioning as if it's going to go forward. I think that the Apex probably becomes the more realistic option. But man, I'm somewhat of a, like I said before, you know, I like the weird elements and the fringe elements of the fight game. So I would love to see from a personal standpoint how this Fight Island would play out, man. I would really love to see it. I don't know how realistic it is. It seems crazy to me because I'm like, there's so many logistical problems that you could go down, but as just a guy who likes that kind of chaos and kookiness, man, I would love to personally see it. I don't know how realistic it is, though, man.
It sounds like a horror movie meets a reality TV show. But, like, who needs Fight Islands when you have Florida, basically? So long may it continue for fight fans, I guess, the UFC. Just on a final point, Chuck, as somebody who writes and covers combat sports, how has it been for you over the last couple of weeks? I'd imagine just having UFC and having this huge part of your career back in a regularized place is big for you personally.
It is. It feels, you know, it's good to have it back. It feels like you're more, like you have a more certain idea of what's going to happen in your future. So far, The Athletic has been amazing, man. Like they were kind of built to, you know, subscription based and what they've been able to do. I feel like that they were kind of built for, this type of thing, because you hear of some furloughs and some jobs and being lost and everything else within our industry. For us, it's been okay. Like, there has not been a threat of that. And if I take a silver lining from this last, you know, few weeks, it's been that it's the rare opportunity to look backwards, you know, at things that have happened and kind of give some people their due, revisit some things that you never had time to do because they were the ceaseless nature of the schedule. I feel like it's been nice on that level, man. Just to be able to go back, kind of give, write some pieces of retrospective pieces or things kind of commemorating events or anniversaries of things that happened, and just bringing back up the past a little bit, bringing the kind of gravity of what's happened and some of those names that get forgotten, bringing them back into the conversation. I think we all looked at it a little bit like that, and we were able to kind of persevere through it. But I mean, honestly, man, there's nothing like a fight plays out in hype, right? Like, you want to, you're thinking about the fight coming up. It's easier to do it that way. That's more exhilarating to think of that way. And it's nice to have it back that way because it's more fun to talk about what's about to happen than what has already happened.
Listen, it's been amazing actually having something to look at for a prolonged period of time where you don't know the results, where there's actually a little bit of suspense. And actually, that was definitely the most satisfying thing about what happened last weekend. Listen, Chuck Mendenhall, it's been great having you back on the show. Thanks a million for taking the call and stay safe.
Of course, fellas. You too. Thank you.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.